Wrestling Soup is intended for a mature audience. We like to use naughty words.
Wrestling Soup. I'm Anthony Bisciotti Thomas. He's Josephy Numbers.
Ooh, hey, what's going on, dude?
Man, it's going to be a fucking busy-ass weekend.
Yeah,
busy, gosh. busy weekend. We've got...
Arian Cross would say, TikTok.
Yeah, no shit. We've got three shows that everybody's going to watch. People probably just kind of tune into if they even watch it. From Dynamite to, what is it, Sunday night. Mm-hmm. It's going to be AEW Fest here in Chicago. And yeah. I can't...
You're in the thick of it over there.
Yeah, well...
Yeah, you could say that.
But I look at AEW and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, so this company has more fervor and a stronger fan base than Lucha Underground, than the NWA, dare I say even TNA at its height.
Oh.
I would even say that AEW.
Oh, for AEW, yeah, absolutely, yeah. For a second, I thought you were saying NWA. I was like, nah, people like TNA more than that. But
No, for sure. No, TNA was, I mean, we've talked about them ad nauseum at this point, but they've had peaks and valleys as far as their popularity goes.
But their peak was never what AEW was at the point of its hype.
Right. But we're starting to see the cracks, and the talent are starting to talk about the cracks, and they're starting to try to corral things around. And Tony Khan is out there saying things now like, I have the best, after All Out, we're going to have the best roster we ever had. It's going to be the best group of people. And I'm just thinking to myself, I'm like, who are you trying to convince, dude? You don't tell people that you have the best talent. You have the talent go out there and show why they're the best. Like, it's literally don't say it. Just prove it. Just go out there and fucking prove it. Show us some great feuds. Show us some great matches.
I think that's what people have been asking for them this whole time. It's just like, stop the talk and just fucking show us that you got something that's better than WWE.
But it seems like.
And for a hot minute, they could have.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then it just fucking bleh. The whole thing just started to.
Well, no, it was ego. That's one of the worst things about the dude. Dude, there's a guy on our Twitter, much love to at American Wolf. He said he wanted to hear what we had to say about this, but Debbie Salcido said that Tony Khan was asked if he would be open to doing a Forbidden Door-like event with WWE. And he once said that he was pretty optimistic when the changes to WWE were first made. However, he's now less optimistic due to the way that they have treated him.
Oh, God. Because he's, he merits so much respect from these people. It's crazy. Dude, when this shit started, this guy really stood a chance of maybe potentially fooling people into taking him seriously. He's a wealthy guy. He's had positions. Even though it was his father's companies, he's shown himself to at least be, on paper, a real businessman, right?
Sure.
And then over time, he proved over and over and over again that he's a goofball.
Man, the first 6 months when he was out there doing like Jericho's show and he was doing random interviews in the beginning, he came off as respectable. Like, he was still a little bit goofy. But at the same time, I was like, oh, you know what? There's something from this guy. Like, he's working with weird people and he's trying to do something interesting and unique. But it's like, over time, you start reading his Forbes articles. You start seeing the random Trump-like tweets that he's throwing up online, calling himself the greatest booker in the world. Like, there were all these warning signs. And I think a lot of fans just kind of went, it's just Tony Khan working the marks, And then after a while, it was like, no, this is who he is. This is his personality,
Yeah, I mean, he was a guy that, right from the beginning, I saw this, I smelled this out because I knew who it was attached to.
Right.
I knew it was attached to Kenny Omega. I knew it was attached to the Young Bucks. I knew it was attached to the supposed fervor that surrounded Bullet Club t-shirts at Hot Topic and the people at the time who were so excited because Japanese wrestling got a buzz around it. You know, what is it? The one tiny buzz that it gets that's something resembling mainstream in 30 something years.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh shit, here it is. It's about to pop off. And you're like, no, that's no. I mean, I'm suppose somewhere maybe on paper, one of the selling points of the network or what Tony Khan could have proposed to the network was, hey, listen, like Japanese culture right now in America is going wild. So if we start incorporating some of this Japanese style wrestling, it's very similar to the anime culture. And blah, blah, blah. Maybe that's how he approached him with it, but it's not the same thing, clearly. It's very clearly not the same thing. I'm sure they share, not even sure, I know that there's somewhat of a shared audience, but I don't think the crossover there is enough to create an entire, you know, multi-hundred-million-dollar wrestling company for it.
The interesting thing with him is, do you think that the reason a company ran by Dixie was even as successful as it was because Dixie wasn't a wrestling fan? Billy, while he is a wrestling fan, he had other things in his life that were more important for the longest time, you know, right. Like the Smashing Pumpkins. It's weird because Tony Khan is a guy who came in as a wacky fan, but he was running a football team. He was running a soccer club. Like he was in charge of other franchises. And it was almost like everything kind of went by the wayside for his enjoyment for his own personal toy box. And I wonder if it's those meshing, the meshing of him being a fan of Japanese wrestling, the meshing of him being a fan of Saturday morning cartoons, the meshing of him being a fan of WWF and WWE and WCW and ECW. Do you think that might have been the actual kiss of death, being a fan of too much of it?
Being a fan of it and then trying to be too hands-on with it. I mean, obviously, that's really kind of what killed the thing. And also you have to take into account this too. I mean, when we start naming off the people that were in the NWA when Billy Corgan originally brought it back, the names you're listing off were older talent, professionals, actual professionals, people who were trained in reputable schools, people that actually had spent time in the business, who paid their dues. Tony Khan hired a bunch of fucking theater kids.
Right.
Let's be real. Like what he hired... He pulled people out of Cody's school and dramatic kids that came out of fucking Chikara's school, for God's sakes, which is like was literally a step above community theater. Oh, let's be real.
Yeah.
That's all. The Chikara school was basically like nerd summer camp where they took bumps and watched fucking shitty lucha matches. But yeah, he didn't get the same crowd of wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
And through having those types of people, like if you have people that are working a job and it's, you know, grown people who know what they're there for and they're kind of able to self-regulate and kind of keep things under control because of that.
Yeah.
It's going to run a hell of a lot easier than, you know, an alcoholic screaming at people because he said that, you know, he's upset that people say he's fat.
Right.
Or 2 30-year-old women who are acting like they're fucking middle schoolers and they're upset because we don't like each other. By the way, like I thought a little bit about this whole thing with like Jamie Hayter getting her nose broken and her being like, I'm so upset. It's like, it's wrestling, lady.
Yeah, it should happen.
It's wrestling.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, fucking John Cena had his face. He had his nose smeared across his face by Seth Rollins. He wasn't sitting there like, hey, hey, Seth Rollins now. It's fucking wrestling.
Right.
Accidents happen. Now, if you feel like she looked you dead in the eyes and just popped you in the face like one of the Three Stooges, that's another thing. But don't get in there and be like, oh, I'm a part of this, you know, I'm a part of this, you know, physical fighting and I'm trying to be a tough, you know, chick and I'm throwing elbow and then get shocked when you get hurt.
Right. Right.
It happens. Remember, what was it, 2 weeks ago? I told the story. I got my nose fractured as a referee. It's you're a part of it. You're involved in this. So this, like, we're going to all bunch up and hate her.
It's still a quote unquote combat sport, right? Like, it still falls into that genre, even though you're trying to make it look as real as possible. It would be insane of you to think that somebody's not going to get fucking decked. You're throwing punches around. One of them is going to miss and actually hit you. Like, you know what I mean?
Here's a crazy thing. It should happen every now and then. Not get your nose broken, but like, you should get hit every now and then.
Well, that's what makes these Sheamus and Drew matches look so good, too.
Yeah.
Wrestling Soup will be right back.
All Out starts at 6 p.m. Central, 7 Eastern at the Now Arena in Hoffman Estates. And we've got three pre-show matches.
I wouldn't be.
Fuck, sorry.
They got the, hey Mish, they got the bodies.
Yeah, they really do.
They had enough people. They could
There's more than enough bodies in Chicago. Matches. So we'll start off with Tomohiro Ishii versus Eddie Kingston in a singles match.
Oh, good. I'm glad that because Kingston got punished, they give him a match with a Japanese guy that he can go out there and do his fake strong style shit with.
Ishii's a big boy, though, too. So,
yeah. Well, you know, who knows? Maybe that guy's going to go out there and, lay into Kingston a little bit. Maybe, come on. I'm sitting here pretending like Tony Khan has the balls to go talk to Ishii and be like, hey, this guy's acting the fool, fucking whack him around a little bit.
It's we were joking about that. He needs a Holly or a JBL in his camp these days. I'm probably going to say Eddie Kingston is going to win this, obviously.
Oh, my. See, that's tough because I feel like the New Japan guys, this might be one of the ones. This might be him getting punished, brother.
Oh.
You know what I mean?
First match on a pre-show. Yeah.
Yeah.
He gets to go home at 6:30. Oh, poor guy. Poor guy.
Yeah, he gets to work one of the Japanese talents, which he somewhere in his mind believes he is himself.
Right.
Probably Kingston will probably win this just as a clear sign that Tony Khan has no concept of, you know, well, what I'll do is I'll give him a match with somebody he'd much rather have because I'm upset and then I'll have him win it. It's very Usos win the titles after DUIs. So, you know, potato, potato. But, yeah, Kingston, sure.
We got PAC versus Kip Sabian. Singles match. Singles match for the AEW All-Atlantic Championship.
Oh, God.
On the pre-show. Pre-show, mind you. Pre-show.
Mish, I'm telling you, man, last week when I saw the fucking clown show come out with Ospreay and those guys, I'm like, I turned it off and went to bed. This week, I did the same thing. I can't sit through any more of these fucking six-man nonsense matches. They suck.
They're just throwing bodies out there, though. Like you've even said, it's just a body show at this point. Like, it's interesting that the three pre-show matches are all singles matches, even though two of them are for titles. Come on, dude.
Kip Sabian, what are we doing?
Oh, well, he's an up-and-comer, right? He's a new guy. He's a new guy on the scene.
They took this guy off TV for a year and a half. And now he's coming back and you just give him a pay-per-view match. He has a box on his head.
Yeah.
What the fuck? What is this? What the actual fuck is this? This is
good. I hope that's actually Kip's idea. I hope that.
Sure it is. I'm sure it's all his idea, Mitch. I'm sure he thinks like he's like, I'm underrated. This is how I'm going to be. I'm going to wear eyeliner now. Yeah. It's like, oh, go home, dude.
Shannon Moore beat you to it. Fuck.
You want to look at this dude and be like, go home to your hot wife and figure something else out. Because this is just. Ain't it, bro?
Pac's gonna retain, obviously.
You fucking hope, right?
Come on. You're not gonna push Sage. Jesus Christ. Next match on the pre-show, Hook versus Angelo Parker, singles match for the Fuck the World Championship.
Which guy is Angelo Parker again? Which one's it?
Oh, what is he? The member of Everrise in 2.0 with him and his... Yeah, they were part of the Jericho Appreciation Society and stuff like that, too.
Oh, man. Well, you know what? I feel bad that this guy has to work a match because I said the other day, I go, those dudes got the deal of the century. They went out, they had a couple blood matches, and then they didn't have to wrestle again for fucking four straight months. Mm. God, Hook. Hook versus one of the guys from 2.0. This is necessary. Clearly, Hook has to win it, right? Because he's going to keep the fucking
mark
that his dad made, for God's sakes. Come on.
Of course. Hook is going to win.
What are we doing here? What are we doing with this fucking show?
We've got
a small child in boxers shorts. What the fuck is this?
These are all fan matches, man. That's what it is. Mm-hmm. It's fan matches. So now we go graduate on to the main show.
Yeah, here's the good stuff, right?
7 Eastern. We'll start with Bryan Danielson versus Chris Jericho in a singles match.
Man, if this is bad, God help us.
This will be a good match. This will be a solid match because Jericho, even though he's kind of dipped off a little bit, I think he's getting in better shape again, which is kind of neat to see that he got rid of the weird chest thing. And now he's starting to look like a human being again. Like, I don't know what the fuck that was, that divot or whatever that he had. He almost had that Kofi Kingston thing.
Yeah, I think he had a torn pec at some point.
Is that what that was?
Yeah. I'm thinking that's what it was. He had a torn pec and, well, it's probably a mix. I'm pretty sure at some point he did the gynecomastia surgery, much like The Rock did at one point.
Oh, is Jeremy right, though? Is he going on tour soon? Is that why he has to tune?
Yeah, he's got to go up there and he's got to go there and do his Motley Crue covers looking all sexy.
All right, fair enough.
Oh, so that means, you know, if Daniel Bryan doesn't win or Bryan Danielson doesn't win, that's a fucking rotten shame then, huh?
Yeah. Jericho has to lose if he's going on tour, right?
Yeah. Well,
I mean,
never underestimate.
Unless he's thinking that AEW is going to help him sell tickets.
Oh,
I'm curious about that. Do you think because we never look at that. Do you think Jericho's selling more tickets at Fozzy events? He probably is just for Judas alone.
He plays small venues, dude.
No, I know. He's not even playing in Chicago. He's playing out in fucking, I don't know, Springfield or something like that. Or Peoria. Right. Like, he's not even playing in Chicago.
Yeah. He's playing smaller venues. And, oh, dude, I'm sure in, you know, Chicago, New York, Boston, Charlotte, North Carolina, some of these more heavy wrestling places, he's obviously getting like the AEW people. He's
it's literally AEW is the Chicago promotion, right? Why wouldn't Chris Jericho try to play in Chicago? And I mean, there are smaller venues. He doesn't have to try.
I was going
to
say, I know you. I'm sure you guys have. Oh, yeah.
He doesn't have to play the fucking United Center, but you're telling me he can't play the Metro? You can't. You're telling me Jericho can't play the Aragon Ballroom? Yes, he could.
How many people do those places sit? Like 700-800 people?
Maybe a little more than that, but not by much. Yeah.
That's all he needs.
I think Metro gets about 1,000. Technically, before the fire alarms go off, you know.
Yeah, I see. That might even be pushing it, man. I mean, I think he's from what I've gathered.
Chicago AEW. That's what I'm saying. Right. Like specifically, this is a town that caters directly to Jericho, and it's funny that he's not even playing here.
Well, from what I've gathered, Jericho is on these Fozzy tours. I mean, he's going to play Judas, of course, and he's going to do that. He's going to feed into it.
He should open it and close the set with it, you know?
That's his mother.
Yeah.
Mother! Play mother! No, I mean, he's supposedly very anti-wrestling at the shows, though. Not obviously anti-wrestling, like what? Wrestling sucks. But like,
dude, he's come out there with his belt. He's come out there with wearing his fucking jackets. Like his Jericho jackets? Really?
I've been told he wants his shows to not have a wrestling vibe to them in the sense of like he doesn't want to sign wrestling stuff.
Okay.
He doesn't want the band to play a show that's aligned with a wrestling event. It's very weird. It's
it is weird when he's on TV every week wrestling.
Right.
You know what I mean? If he was retired and he's like, look, dude, I just, when I'm doing my shows, I don't want to do the wrestling. I'd be like, oh yeah, that makes perfect sense, Jericho. No problem. I get that. Dude, right. You're on TV every fucking week. Every week. Wrestling. Right. What the actual fuck nonsense is that?
Yeah. Are you kidding me? If I was in that band with Brody King, which, by the way, Brody King seems like a sweet guy, but he's one of the worst fucking hardcore vocalists I've heard of the past 10 years. But I mean, his voice is god-awful. God-awful for that genre. But I'm sure it's because he's a fucking good guy. And he's
what does he think he is? Radiohead? Now that I've got done playing Judas, I will never play Judas again. It's my old work. I am an artiste.
It's inescapable, man. Like, if you're big in that genre, okay. The only way you can like navigate those waters is that what you're doing is completely different or better than the original thing. Okay, so you know who Donald Glover is?
Yes.
The comedian Donald Glover. He does rap albums as a guy named Childish Gambino.
Yes.
And Gambino wins, or he wins, you know, pretty consistently awards, and the albums do well. So it's not like he's got to go up there and be like, hey guys, you fucking airplane food sucks, huh? Like,
you could have just used Little Dicky. I would have gotten that one too.
Oh, well, Little Dicky has the TV show.
Yeah,
but he doesn't do.
Well, I guess he doesn't do stand up.
Yeah. I mean, he's in his root a comedic guy, but no, but that's what I'm saying is it's like he has enough oomph behind his music career that he's not initially perceived as a comedian. I mean, Jericho doesn't, it's a hair metal band. Come on. That's all it is. It's a fucking hair metal band. It's not like he's out there, you know, I am a serious artiste. It's like, no, you're not, dude. You fucking Motley Crue. Come on.
So what you're telling me is Bryan Danielson's going to win this match.
Oh God, he better. He fucking better.
We got Tori Wilson, Dr. Britt Baker, Jamie Hayter, and Hikaru Shida. Four-way match for the interim AEW Women's World Championship.
Tori Wilson, you say?
Tony Storm, Tori Wilson. Oh, they're fucking interchangeable and useless.
Same difference there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Britt Baker. Wow. God, there's a lot of fucking green in this match.
Well, Shida and Britt Baker are the two strongest talents. Jamie
Shida got a good reaction last night, yeah, though, I will
Shida.
Say.
I like Shida.
Yeah. She's hit or miss with the audience. Because then the week before that, she had a match, and you could have sworn that fucking, you know, there was a fire drill in the building. It was so quiet.
Right.
But last night, people were happy to see her. It's weird, man. But looking at this, you're going, okay, so are they going to have Britt win it again?
Yes.
And they're going to.
Yes. And the reason is because of all the Thunder Rosa nonsense going on in the back. Mm-hmm. That's why. Let's be honest. This one isn't a little boy in the back playing with his little dolls. This one is a political move. This is moving the fucking queen back into her space. And this is going to be Dr. Britt Baker, DMD, winning the championship.
You know, for what it's worth, man, I don't think Toni Storm's all she's cracked up to be either. I think, you know, a lot of her hype has been based around the fact that she is a British girl that looks like Jessica Simpson and has a big old booty. Mm-hmm. Let's be real. I mean, we're not trying to sit here and say that's all she is, but it certainly didn't help or didn't hurt in the process. But yeah, man, I don't know. It's the idea of Britt Baker getting this title again. It goes back to, you know, oh, you have a problem. Let me fucking reward you.
Yeah. Like I said, I don't even think this is going to be about the wrestling. I mean, you do have talented women in this, or at least two of them, maybe three.
two and a half.
Right. But this has nothing to do with that. This really doesn't feel like it's a wrestling match. This feels like this is a political move. I'm just saying. So it's hard for me to get invested in it because it's really only about trying to reestablish the division, which I'm not against. I think Tony Khan needs to reestablish this women's division. It needs to be woken back up, because it's not going well, guys. It's not going well. The women's division is pretty weak. And so if the idea is Toni Storm is supposed to get the championship, that's fine. But I don't think that that's what this match is going to be about.
I mean, I don't want to dwell too long on this match. I'm not looking to, you know, throw the tennis ball and chase it or anything, but like, where the fuck is Ruby Soho?
Who?
Why is it? What happened? She's a legitimate, if we're going to pretend like this show is supposed to be, you know, athletics and work rate and blah, blah, blah. Where's the chick that's one of the best workers you have as a girl? Like one of the best women that you have.
Oh, they've had a bunch of those women. They've had a bunch of those women. They just kind of disappeared. You know, Serena Deeb, Mercedes Martinez. They have talented women on that card. It's just, you know.
Yeah, we got to put one of, you know, Kenny Omega's girls on there. And then Britt Baker, who somehow is getting worse in the ring.
So Jamie, we got Ader, to win this shit. Bad. So we can move on to the other 14 fucking matches.
You know what? I'm going to say Toni Storm. Okay. I'm just cool. I'm going to give Tony Khan credit and say Toni Storm.
I hope you're right.
You're listening to Wrestling Soup.
House of Black, Malakai Black, Brody King, and Buddy Matthews versus Darby Allin with his new spinal column tattoo. I think, you know what? Did you see that? Did you see the new spine?
Oh, yeah, you sent that to me.
I thought that was really nice. I mean, this is he got this tattoo not because it means anything, guys, but just so his chiropractor knows what his spine is supposed to look like. Sting and Miro in a 6-man tag team match.
Miro. Oh, God.
Miro Allen?
Miro. Stemboard. This just seems like another match where, for fucking no reason, Aleister Black and his group are going to eat a pin.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's what it is. It's Malakai Black is going to die, Buddy Matthews is going to die, and Darby Allin are going to die. And then Sting and Miro are just going to beat the shit out of Brody King until he just quits. That's what it's going to be. Those three guys are going to fucking eat a lot of fucking outside, right? They're going to eat a lot of Mylar. Yeah. And then...
They're going to bump like monsters for 70-year-old Sting.
Yeah.
The 40-pound guy. Miro. Sting will take the hot tag. Maybe Miro will take the heat, because that would make sense. Yeah, this is just, once again, a whole bunch of bodies thrown together to see what the fuck will happen. Another 6-man, because we need that.
Let me throw this out here real quick. Maurice is saying, do you think the rumors of them wanting to be released is true? No, it was a fake account, and it was a meme of Brian Alvarez saying that Malakai Black wants to go to WWE.
I mean,
totally fake.
At this point, the obviously faked, but do you think there's not a part
of right. Well, when we talked about that too, it was like, well, that was why we fell for it initially, because it's like, well, that sounds legit.
All right.
You know, but
if I'm Malakai Black and I'm sitting there backstage at AEW, right? And they're coming up to me and they're like, hey, we got another 6-man for you. And hey, it's just some more fucking spot monkey bullshit matches. Right. And he's just sitting there in his head and he's like, do you remember when I got raised up like a coffin and there was smoke and I was standing like a fucking demon and I had that sick fucking song with that heavy fucking, I came down looking like death, and they're like, yeah, that's cool, go out there and lose to the guy the size of a fucking 5-year-old,
right?
Go out there and get beat up by the fucking Hot Topic clown. Like, this is just, it's unfortunate. It's fucking unfortunate. That said, I mean, I'm sure that this will be better than a lot of the other things on the show, but I'm not gonna buy for a second that House of Black's not eating the fucking pin. I'm assuming it'll be Brody King, which will be great, but yeah, I'm picking Sting in the crew.
Jade Cargill versus Athena singles match for the AEW TBS championship.
Another great women's contest. Wow.
Jade Cargill. Can we move on?
What's the point? Yeah.
Right.
What's the
Jungle Boy versus Christian Cage singles match?
Fuck. This has been built up for months and I'm still like, whatever.
That's the problem, is they've had the old switcheroo and, you know, right. Luchasaurus turn and then turn back. And this is, and Christian went super heel, you know, obviously making fun of daddy. Right. Like, I mean, this match should have a lot more weight behind it, but it doesn't because I guess I've always kind of looked at Jungle Boy as kind of a comedy character. So it's difficult for me to look at him as, even though he's sporting the nice black leather jackets now.
Oh, so never mind.
Right, yeah. Right. I don't know, man. I like Christian in a suit. I think he looks like a villain.
Like, oh, Christian's, yeah, he's a fucking, he looks like he'd be in Die Hard, for
right,
God's sakes.
Right, right.
He's
my name is
problem.
Christian Goober. Gruber. Whatever.
I wasn't crazy about Christian at the beginning of this because to me, I'm like, this another fucking, ugh, whatever. Right. I didn't feel it at first, but now as it went along, I'm like, Christian's the glue keeping this together.
Yeah.
Luchasaurus is turning and then turning back. It's just that killed this thing to me. That yeah. killed this thing
yeah.
because I'm looking at it and I'm going, if you have the giant dinosaur and you have Christian who's bigger than him, you're really stacking the deck against this small baby face who really needs to fire up and not be afraid and go out there. And instead he's like going to wear a shirt that says pussy and be, you know, Andrew Dice Jungle Boy. And you know, oh, I'm going to fucking be an O. Like it did not work by the third week, and now we're on the third month.
No, Brian. Brian's saying he turned heel. No. Luchasaurus was babyface, then he turned heel for Christian, and then he turned back to babyface in lieu of Jungle Boy. He has not turned heel again, although
that's more than likely what will happen on Sunday,
right?
Which is just, well, what's the fuck? What's the fuck?
I don't know. Point? That's what I'm saying. Like, this match should have a lot of weight behind it, but I could almost give a fuck. I hope Christian wins because he has something to get out of this. Jungle Boy, if he wins or loses, I agree with the chat. If Jungle Boy wins or loses, it doesn't matter. He's going back to being a goofball afterwards.
You're right. Right. What does it matter? I mean, if Jungle Boy, here's the thing. If Jungle Boy wins this clean as a sheet and the fucking dinosaur comes out and now the dinosaur wears a black mask for some reason and beat the shit out of people and actually look like he could have been something for 30 seconds and then chooses not to be. Then we're right back to square A and the whole entire feud didn't mean anything. If Luchasaurus comes out and turns on Jungle Boy
again
and just beats the shit out of him and Christian pins him, it's like, well, then Jungle Boy is technically the dumbest baby face that's ever lived.
Yeah.
Because he's been fooled multiple times
by the same shtick.
Right.
It's like telling somebody, it's like telling somebody a knock knock joke. And everybody laughs and then telling it to him again. And they're the only one that laughs just as hard as right. they did the first time.
Yeah. I mean, I get he's, you know, he looks like a small child, but the baby watching the mobile spin around, you know, it's not supposed to be funny by the third time. If you're over the age of 3 weeks, you know, it's a joke. It's a fucking joke, but I'm assuming Christian wins and the dinosaur turns. As the dinosaur turns.
Wardlow and FTR versus Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns 6-man tag team match.
Oh, man. So Wardlow, you mean W. Morrissey?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow. Boy, did they just... God, poor Wardlow. Poor Wardlow. It sounds crazy to say poor Wardlow because he's in a match with FTR and FTR are doing great, yada, yada, yada. But, man. God, they just threw a bucket of syrup on that poor son of a bitch. Like, killed him fucking dead. Deader than Abe Lincoln. I mean, my God. You hope FTR wins this match, and you hope it's Wardlow with the power bombs. But you want to talk about taking something. Once again, Kip Sabian has a match, and then Wardlow's in a 6-man? Get the fuck out of here. What are we doing? What is this shit? What is this actual shit? I mean, do you think FTR is winning this, or are you just hoping FTR wins this?
I don't think they are.
No?
I don't think they are. I think they really want the Motor City Machine Guns to become something.
God, why?
Why? Because there's an attachment there. It's also the chance to take them. And like FTR, right? They're already established as this amazing tag team. But Motor City Machine Guns need something. Jay Lethal, I mean, whatever.
Poor Jay Lethal, too.
Yeah, he's all over the place. At least he's getting paid. But Motor City Machine Guns, I know this isn't 2006. I totally agree. But I think that they want to do something. I just have a feeling that AEW wants Motor City Machine Guns to become a little bit more prominent.
Yeah. Well, you're right. They're both undersized and way past their prime and have the personality of rocks. So you're right. They're right up the alley for the guys that they want to push.
Claudio. Sorry.
I'm still thinking FTR, though. I'm still going down that lane. But I wouldn't be surprised if you were right.
Claudio Castagnoli, Wheeler Yuta, Penta El Zero, Rey Fénix, Rush, Andrade El Dolio, Dante Martin versus to be decided casino ladder match. Winner receives a future AEW World Championship match. So
you hope it's to be Claudio, decided. Right?
Or are we going to say MJF?
Well, if to be decided is MJF, then who's left? Everybody that's basically existed.
Oh no,
has they debuted could. For this company.
Already. It could be Bray Wyatt.
Oh, could you imagine if poor Bray Wyatt signed that contract for them 3 months ago?
Oh, it could be Ospreay. That's a good one too.
Well, God. If it just so happens to be MJF, then you hope it's MJF. If it's anybody other than MJF, I hope it's Cesaro.
Cesaro's and in there.
Yeah.
Cesaro's already in the match.
Oh, no, what I mean to win.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, to win the whole damn thing. Because I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, Dante Martin, he's there to take bumps.
Right.
Like, what stupid flip can we get out of you? That's like, if you list off the guys that are in that match again, you're like, okay, these are the ones that are there to eat the spots. There's your Kofi. Did I even
say Rush? I think I did say Rush. Jesus.
Yeah. Roosh. Roosh mesh.
Whatever. Tori Wilson.
Roosh. Yeah. If the magical man who shall not be named just yet is MJF, then I'm picking him. If it's anybody but him, then it's probably going to be Cesaro.
Maybe it's Billy Gunn.
Billy.
Yeah, Claudio would probably be my first choice in this too. Yeah. I'd like to see him the World Championship run. That would make sense.
Is it? You know what though? Brian Long's not crazy to think it could be somebody like Wheeler Yuta, just because fuck it, right?
Well, I mean, that's just kind of throwing this whole match away, isn't it?
Well.
Because, I mean, what are they going to do? Have Wheeler, Yuta, and Moxley face off?
Oh, like, you're right. Ooh.
I mean, are they going to do that kind of bit? Like, oh, no, they're both on the same team. Oh, no.
Infighting in the combat club.
Yeah, that's what we need. More drama about infighting.
Right. We've got enough for the real shit. Yeah. Oh, woof. Whatever.
Swerve in Our Glory versus the Acclaimed tag team match for the AEW World Tag Team Championship.
This could be one of the better things on the show, as long as they keep Keith Lee from doing front flips to the outside, which he will.
Yeah.
I like everybody in this match with the exception of when Keith Lee talks. This will be fun. I'm assuming they retain, but I also wouldn't be shocked if the Acclaimed pulled it out. Because, really? I mean, they're really, really hot right now. They should probably be champions more so than fucking Swerve and old Soft Swerve there. I don't know what you think.
I like Keith Lee and Swerve. I don't like them together. I think Swerve is a guy that should be in that casino ladder match, personally.
No, you're not wrong. Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't know. Like, the initial idea was like, oh, this is at least interesting putting these two guys together. But I don't know, man. I see Keith Lee as more of an albatross at this point.
I don't know. Yeah, he's the star in that group.
Yeah.
I mean, once again, man, Strickland is just given dead weight everywhere he goes, huh?
Yeah.
God, that poor guy. They're just everywhere he shows
up. Well, it's not that Keith Lee is bad, right? Because Keith Lee isn't bad. I mean, he's no AJ Francis, right?
No. He's clearly I take him over Top Dollar. Yes, but for sure.
At the same time, it's just kind of like the furthest Swerve can go is where he's at right now. And I think Swerve has a lot more in him. I think Swerve should be a single star. I'm not disagreeing with people that are saying, oh, this is a good tag team. What the fuck are you talking about, Mish? Not knocking the tag team at all. I'm saying that between the two guys that you have there, Swerve is a guy I think that can really move merch. Swerve is a guy I think can put butts in seats. I think people are interested enough. And I think if he's given the actual ball proper, he can do something with it. It's weird. Swerve Strickland is this blue chipper that his time is running out. His time is running out. He was in NXT. He was saddled with a group. They put him up on the main roster. He was saddled with a group. They put him in AEW. He was saddled with a tag team partner. It's like, can this guy get a moment in the sun by himself?
Right. Yeah, I feel bad for the dude. Like I was saying, like, it's like he shows up and they're like, all right, and here's your W-2 and here's your backpack full of bricks.
Right.
Like, just
not knocking any of the people in this match. I'm just saying, for Swerve and Our Glory, they're going to retain. I just want to see Strickland get the fuck away from it. I want to see what this guy can do on his own. I really do. Well, you know,
Mish, one of the hardest things about watching AEW is you're looking at it, and once again, it's all these six-mans, eight-mans, fucking 45, you know, blood matches and all this other bullshit. And I see a mid-card here on, you know, just within this roster that's exceptional.
Sure.
If the person that knew how to fucking book it, booked it. If you had your, you know, obviously you had your Stricklands, you had your guys, your Ricky Starks, you have some dudes here who you're like, they could round out the middle of your card beautifully. And they could, you could sprinkle them into these main events and you'd have something. But instead, you just have a big fucking pile of baloney.
Right.
Big old pile of baloney.
This is Big Busick. Listen to me, the greatest podcast on the internet.
Ricky Starks versus Powerhouse Hobbs.
This sucks because I don't want either of these guys to lose.
I like this feud, though. I understand what you're saying. It's an interesting feud. It's a, you know, when worlds collide, or mega powers or shit like that. I like Powerhouse Hobbs. I know you like Ricky Starks much better, and I understand that.
I think they're both great.
I think Powerhouse Hobbs looks like a guy that this company needs to be a standalone guy. See, the problem is a majority of the AEW roster look like kids that are working at fucking Hot Topic.
Right.
Powerhouse Hobbs does not look like a guy who's working at fucking Hot Topic. He looks like a guy who's working on himself. He's making himself bigger. Now, with that said, they both have flaws. I still think that Powerhouse Hobbs is what AEW needs to kind of change their image around. But who knows? Maybe they don't even want that. Maybe they like the Hot Topic theory. You know, maybe they like the stance of having
it sure smaller, seems like they do.
Right. So it's like my idea of having a guy like Powerhouse Hobbs go big. No, probably not. Maybe I'm wrong. I'm probably wrong. I'm absolutely wrong. Fuck it. They don't want that because if they did, what's Wardlow doing?
You're right.
You know,
if they were looking for the guys that made the most sense to start building them up and putting them at the top of the card as believable, strong athletes that look like they could hurt somebody. Yeah, Wardlow wouldn't be doing fucking joke matches.
Luchasaurus wouldn't be a fucking joke wrestler anymore either.
Right.
That's fucking big. That's it. You know?
It's what sucks. Like I said, there's so many people that they could really flesh out and have a really good fucking like mid-card roster.
The talent is there. Absolutely.
Yeah. It's just such a goddamn jumble fuck of people. I do think Starks is going to win this. Yeah. I do. I like both of them. I like Starks a little bit more. And I think that's only because I think And God only knows they haven't given Hobbs enough time to talk. They have a half an hour for gymnastics routines.
He's not the best talker, but you know what? That's something you work on. Something you work on.
But Mish, it's a good, and we'll go to the next one, but it's like, it's a good thing that it's even debatable that you have two guys in a match and both, you know, there's both sides to it where both people are going, I'm not so sure. I think both of them could be stars. That's sure. Great.
Yeah. Yeah. No,
that's absolutely good to see. Let's just stop booking them against each other. You dumb, dumb.
So this, so far we only have what, 3 matches that stand out of a 14 match card. The next match is the Elite with Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks. Versus to be decided.
God, I could not possibly care any less about this match. I just can't give a fuck. Omega, I just don't care about these three. I don't. If they were out there, I don't know, making Pop-Tarts, I just don't want to see it.
Yeah.
There's nothing to them anymore that I give a shit about. I've seen Young Bucks have the same exact match, the same exact match since what, 2010? Since, so was George Bush still the fucking president at that point? I can't watch this anymore. It's the same shit. They do the same things. They're not likable. They're annoying. And Kenny Omega, it's the same thing. I think he's a fucking repugnant turd. I don't care who they wrestle. I don't give a shit if Jesus Christ, Buddha, and Batman come out to wrestle these guys. I don't give a fuck. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
People are saying that the to be decided is probably going to be the best friends.
Oh, whoopee.
Beretta.
And Orange Cassidy.
Yeah.
God fucking Christ. Who is this for? 5-year-olds? This is literally for fucking 5-year-olds. Gives a fuck. That's awful. And don't worry, the Young Bucks will still win.
Sean saying Dark Order with Paige. That's a good one, too. Ugh. I don't know, dude. It doesn't matter who to be decided is. That's how one-sided this looks to me. I don't care who the fuck. You could bring back Occam and fucking Razor. It doesn't matter. The Elite are going to win this.
Yeah, they're going to just do flips around them until they win.
Okay, I guess the better question is what trio would you put in this match that could defeat Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks?
Oof. I mean, I had an answer for that, but I don't know if I could say it on the show.
It adds value, Joe. It adds value.
I'm going to push some Magic Johnson on it. He said a trio. It's so bad. It's so fucking bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Whoever comes out.
The tournament finale. So John Moxley versus CM Punk singles match for the AEW World Championship.
This is an interesting one because in my mind, you have to assume Punk's going to win it. Because he's in his hometown and we're trying to tell the story of him with the busted foot. Or are we, is this going to lead to the heel turn? So they have a little something here. It's just too messy. Cause what do? You just kill John Moxley fucking dead? Not that I really even care for Moxley that much, but like, yeah, I have no idea, man. This is actually one that kind of stumps me because it's booked so badly. I don't know who's going to win. Or I can't even predict who would win. I don't know. Who do you think's taking this?
CM Punk. Hands down. Like, I don't even doubt it. I don't think John Moxley, as much as we like him, is going to be the guy that they're going to strap the rocket ship to. For the last couple of weeks, it's been a huge spin campaign talking about how great CM Punk is for AEW. How CM Punk is the most important star of the company. Like, literally overshadowing everything that John Moxley's done. Overshadowing shit that even Jericho's done. And it's not even our words. These are words coming from AEW hopefuls and AEW fans and stuff like that. CM Punk, CM Punk, CM Punk. Well, now you have him in Chicago for the title. And he's got the comeback story. He's got the little Rocky That Could story, attached to him. Yeah. Yeah, I don't have a doubt in my mind. It's going to be a big moment. There might even be streamers. Like, do you remember when he retired from ROH and he was in the middle of the ring crying and there was just like billions of fucking streamers flying down all over him that the crowd was throwing? I wouldn't be surprised if it's a recreation of a moment like that.
I wouldn't either. But still, at this point, like Moxley, I can't get into what Moxley's doing. He did a 10-minute long promo to open the show where he said precisely nothing. I mean, it went on for 10 minutes and he's just by the way, he's just like pacing. Like now he's just pacing awkwardly and he's just like, blah, 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 blah. He literally just looks like an insane person on the, like with a Bluetooth fucking earphone in, like in front of the grocery store, like yelling at their wife. Like being like, if I told you I was going to bring her, what do you need? How many cups of sugar do I need? Like, and none of it makes sense. Yeah. He just went out there for 10 minutes and managed to say, like I said, absolutely nothing.
Hey, you know, on a side note from that, his wife, though, is filming at the Performance Center.
Oh, God. Well, hopefully.
She's doing some stuff for the A&E documentaries. I just thought I'd throw that out there, you know.
Well, I mean, she's probably going down there and taking a peek and looking around, and she's then turning on the TV and seeing her husband bleed all the time.
I figured she's probably over there on her hands and knees weeping and begging, please hire, please get my husband out of that fucking company, pretty please.
Yeah, for the love of God, whatever you can do, please get him out of there.
God, bring back Jerry McDivitt. I don't give a shit. Please get him out of there.
whatever we got to do to get him out of this goddamn company. Mm. Yeah, I mean, CM Punk has to win it. And I don't know. Moxley, I'm sure, can just take that L and just move along. But yeah, you're right. They're more than likely going to tell the story of CM Punk with the broken, busted foot. And that whole thing was just so awkward, too. It was like Grandpa Joe getting out of the bed and fucking Willy Wonka in the Chocolate Factory.
Yeah.
Where it just went from him being like, well, I guess I just don't have it anymore. I don't think I have the fight in me. And then Ace Steel comes out and he's like, you got the fight in your Uncle Joe. And he's like, I'm going to do a cartwheel. Like, it was weird. It was fucking weird. I think he did one of those Velveteen Dream bumps before. Oh,
did he?
That's what Ace Steel gave him, actually.
Jesus Christ. Oh, yeah. That's right. Ace Steel was out there, too. Yeah, another reason. It's going to be a big to-do. It's going to be a big to-do, and the only person that won't be there is Colt Cabana.
Oh, man. By the way, I think that's why he yelled at that guy, because there was a little contingency of people chanting Colt Cabana at him, and that's why he got poopies in his pants.
Yeah.
I don't know if you picked up on that. There was a handful of you could hear the Colt Cabana chants, and that's why he's like, this guy doesn't have sex.
Reel it back in. Reel it back in, Punk. You know what? People are going to like Colt Cabana. We understand that you've had a horrible relationship with the guy and he cost you some money. But people still like him anyways. It's just a fact.
Oh, no. Well, that's CM Punk's city. No one in his city, no one else in the city is allowed to
like Colt's a goddamn Cabana. Chicago guy.
Oh, but not CM Punk owned Chicago. No one else is allowed to have it. Yeah, he's a dildo, dude. The guy's a fucking dickweed.
So,
I mean, Colt Cabana is far from perfect, too. But, like, you're right. What does he expect? Nobody to like him?
Well, with that said, much love to everybody. seriously, I know we got two more pay-per-views to discuss, but I definitely wanted to put the break here. I'm literally exhausted just from talking about this, especially considering the one pay-per-view we will not be covering on the weekend is AEW's All Out. And they're still selling tickets. Tickets are still going for $30. I still can't find myself going. I just can't.
I don't blame you.
I don't know, man. Like I used to try and feel bad about not attending these fucking pay-per-views, but I look at this company and I'd rather see all of this talent working in WWE. That's what I'd rather see. A lot of these guys, not all of them, but
yeah, I'd rather see a lot of this talent being booked coherently on a show that is garbage.
I mean, if we're going to make fucking wishes, Joe. Yeah. Yeah, I wish Tony Khan would wake up tomorrow and then all of a sudden actually become one of the best bookers in the entire world.
Yeah. I wish I could wake up tomorrow and I my bed was made of carrot cake.
Right.
And I was sleeping on a big, delicious piece of carrot cake. But I don't think that's going to happen. Yeah,
I wish I could wake up the next morning and Tink looks a little like Mickey James. You know, it's just... oh, drama! Drama! Jesus, fuck out of here.
Be careful. Mish, you're going to get your nose broken.
Hey, not all of our wishes are dishes, bro. Anyways, let's get the fuck out of this. All Out Sunday, 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock Eastern.